الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات والسلام على رسول الله. Inshallah, I would like to thank the brothers for coming out or remaining again, inshallah, for the second segment. This segment, inshallah, is given by our beloved brother, Abu Usama al-Zahabi. Inshallah, he is the Imam of the Masjid in Florida. Today's discussion, inshallah ta'ala, in this segment, is entitled, How to Attain the Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At this point, inshallah, without any elaborate introduction, I would now turn the microphone over to our beloved brother, Abu Usama al-Zahabi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In speaking about a topic like this, how do you go about attaining or obtaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to realize first and foremost that only a few people out of all of the people that Allah ta'ala has created are going to be the recipients of Allah's love. Only a few people. The ghuraba, those few people. It's not going to be the majority of the creation, but a few people. And the other thing that we should understand is that there are a lot of things that if you look at the Quran and you look at the authentic sunnah, the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, you're going to find there are a lot of things that you can do to become of those people who are the ihda'u of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people that Allah loves them back. So if we look at the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, that has been narrated by al-Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, as well as al-Imam al-Bukhari and the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجُدَ حَلَاوَةِ الْإِيمَانِ أَنْ يَكُنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَاهِمَا وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَى وَلَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person finds these three things, he will find the sweetness of faith. He will be able to taste the sweetness of faith. If a person loves Allah and His Messenger more than he loves anyone and anything else. Number two, if that person loves another person, and he only loves that person for Allah's sake. And the third thing is that the person hates to return to disbelief after Allah Ta'ala has saved him from kufr, just as he hates to be thrown into the hellfire. So when we look at this hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see the benefits that come as a result of a person loving Allah and His Messenger. The abd loving Allah and His Messenger. If you were to do that, if Allah and His Messenger were more beloved to you than anything and everyone else, then the reward of that is that you're going to be blessed with the taste of the sweetness of al-Iman. That's the virtue of you loving Allah, or you loving the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you loving another human being for Allah's sake. What about the virtues of Allah loving the abd, not the other way around? What are some of the virtues of Allah loving the abd? If the abd was to love Allah, and the reward for that is to taste the sweetness of Iman, that's a tremendous blessing. You can rest assured that when Allah loves the abd, the blessings are going to be greater than that and more magnificent than that. We have the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this hadith has been collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah ta'ala said, إِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ عَبْدًا كُنْتُ سَمَعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهَا وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يَبْصُرُ بِهِ وَيَدُهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرَجْلُهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَانَنِي لَأُعِينَّهُ. If I love a servant, I become the ears or the hearing by which he hears, and I become the sight by which he sees, and I become the hand by which he strikes, and I become the leg by which he walks. And if my servant was to ask of me to help him, really I'm going to help him. And if my servant was to seek assistance from me, I'm going to assist him. So that's one of those clear hadiths that established for us the virtues of Allah Ta'ala loving the abd. That when he hears a kalima, someone comes to him and he's in his presence and he wants to start to make riba or to talk about someone else, he says, I don't want to accept that type of statement. This is not the type of thing that I want to hear. Why? Because Allah has become his hearing. Any word that comes and it falls on his ears, he knows how to deal with it. He knows which words to get behind, to defend and to support. He knows which words to be far, far away from. Whenever he sees a situation, he sees a brother, and the brother is dressed in a nice robe, and the brother looks as if he can be of those people who are trustworthy, that they can be trusted. He doesn't know the brother previous to that first meeting. But when it's requested from him to step forward, to have a relationship with that brother, Allah brings about the circumstances that we can see that individual for who and what he really is. Not because he's a sufi or he knows the unseen, but Allah Ta'ala loves him. So Allah creates those conditions that allow that man to make intelligent decisions. So that's how we understand that hadith. If Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala loves the man, and the man seeks Allah's help or assistance in his walk of life, Allah assists that person. Another hadith that shows us the virtue of Allah Ta'ala loving his abd is the statement that the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, also on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when this hadith has been collected in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَ جِبْرِيلُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ ثم ينادي جبريل في أهل السماء إن الله يحب فلانا فأحبوه فيحبه أهل السماء ثم يبدأ له القبول في الأرض. If Allah Ta'ala loves his abd, a call is made out in the sky and it is said to Jibreel, verily I love so and so, he's walking on the face of the earth, so therefore you should love him like Jibreel. So Jibreel starts to love that individual. And then Jibreel calls out to the angels in the sky, verily Allah loves so and so and so and so, so therefore love him. The people of the Sama, or the creation in the Sama, they begin to love him. And then on top of that, and this is probably one of the greatest virtues that Allah can bestow upon his eyes, is after that Allah places in the earth al-qabool for that person. Al-qabool. What is al-qabool? One of the questions came up yesterday to the shuyukh as to the permissibility of the statement of the person after he makes salat, he wipes his hands off and he shakes hands with the people, he wipes his face, and then he starts shaking hands with the people, and then he says, تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنِّي وَمِنْكُمْ. تَقَبَّلَ اللَّهُ is from this word, قَبُول. That statement after the salat is not permissible, that is well known by everyone. But the statement, تَقَبَّلْ Allah, it means may Allah accept. So al-qabool is from that word. So if Allah Ta'ala loves his servant, Allah puts in the earth al-qabool. What is qabool? Acceptance. He is accepted. He wants to go to a job interview. When he goes for the job interview, he gets accepted. He wants to go to study in this university or that university like Medina. he sees and it seems that all of the doors in front of him are closed. But Allah Ta'ala loves him. Allah places in the earth al-qubur. He goes and he puts his effort forth, he gets accepted. He's a person who is some type of a technician in a hospital. He has a $7.50 an hour job. He doesn't make a lot of money. He wants to marry a sister who is a prime candidate. Everyone wants to marry that sister. He doesn't have any background. He doesn't have a big family. He doesn't have a lot of knowledge. No one really knows him. If he speaks, no one pays attention to his statement. But when he goes and he makes an effort and he says, look, I want to marry this sister, the family accepts him and rejects other people because Allah Ta'ala has placed in the earth for that individual the qabool. So these are some of the authentic ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam that go to show how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will bless the person that he loves. So what do we do in order to obtain and to attain the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? As I mentioned, there are so many things that we can do, but we're going to mention about 4 or 5 things here today, and maybe some more of them will come up in the question and answer period. The very first thing that we want to mention about concerning the issue of al-ghuraba is that those people who busy themselves with making the nawafil ibadat, those extra types and forms of worship, they become of those people that Allah Ta'ala loves. Those people who make that which is extra upon them. If someone was present and he has some rights over that individual, and he gave his rights, you hired him, you worked for him, he gave you what you guys agreed to and upon. But he goes beyond the call of duty, and he gives you something extra. He does something extra. Quite naturally, you're going to feel good about those efforts. Similarly, in other times, Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon us things, and those things that are not obligatory upon us. If the app was to make it his business, to make it part of his minhaj, part of his being, to do that extra stuff, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala loves that individual as a result of that. As the statement of the Prophet clearly illustrates to us when he says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب وما تقرب إلي عبد بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحببته. He said, whoever takes one of my wali, one of my awliya, one of my friends, whoever takes them as an enemy, then I have declared war against that individual. Whoever doesn't like the Prophet or the Messenger, whoever doesn't like the ulama of al-Islam, past and present, from whichever madhhab they come from, whichever country they come from, past and present, whoever has some enmity against someone who has made a wali to my awliya, then I have declared against that individual war. And my servant does not get close to me with something that is more beloved to me than what I made obligatory upon him. If the person wants to get close to Allah Ta'ala, he doesn't get close to Allah by worshiping Allah with that which has not been legislated, by innovation, by his own mind. The best way to get close to Allah and to make the taqarrub to Allah is by that which Allah made obligatory upon you. The arkan of al-Islam, taking care of your children, being just with your wife, obeying your husband, wearing the hijab, those things that are obligatory, staying away from what's haram, doing what you've been ordered to do. It's not possible that the person is going to be falling into the haram. And he's doing all of the nawafil, or a lot of nawafil, and then he's going to be of those people that Allah loves. He's going to be from the awliya of Allah. He has it backwards. The servant does not get close to me with something that I love more than getting close to me with those things that I made obligatory upon him. and my servant will not cease to get close to me with the nawafil, with those extra details of the salat of duha, the two rak'ahs before Fajr, fasting on Mondays and Thursdays, giving sadaqah, trying to do this, trying to do that. Those things that are extra. My servant will not cease to do those things except that I will love that individual. So the nawafil, when the people busy themselves with them, they become from the ahibba'u of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an observation that I made, and it's not a difficult observation to come to know about, and that is that the majority of the people were not busy with the nawafil in anything. We're not busy with the nawafil of the salah. We're not busy with the nawafil of fasting. We're not busy with the nawafil of giving dawah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or anything, but in particular, the prayer. Now we know the position that the tahajjud had with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point that the Messenger of Allah would criticize certain people for leaving it alone. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu came to the house of his sister Al-Hafsa. To ask Hafsa, what has the Prophet mentioned about me in terms of my character and how I am? He said about you, Abdullah, Rajulun Salih, Lawman Yatruk As-Salah. Abdullah, the righteous man, only if he didn't leave off the prayer. Now some ignorant, foolish person, he'll read that statement and he'll say, look, Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to not pray. But the intelligent Muslim, who has an iota of sense and understanding, he knows that it's impossible for any of the companions to leave off the prayer. He knows that it's impossible. Because this would be a strong argument or shubha in the minds of the people who don't pray. Allah doesn't leave those kind of crazy shubhahs for the people to hold on to. I'm not going to pray because Iman is in my heart. And Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to do that. The meaning of that statement is, Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to sleep through the night and not get up for the tahajjud. After he heard that statement from his sister, from our mother, from the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anhunna, he said after that, I never ever left the salah one time. The salah of tahajjud. Now that tahajjud, it may be a bit difficult for most of us because we have to get up in the morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and we have to go punch that clock and we have to be on that JOB. So it may be difficult to get up in the middle of the night. But at least, those salawat that are connected during the daylight hours, we can do more about those issues. The standard for the majority of the people now is that we pray the salat and nothing before and nothing after. That's the standard of the majority of the people. So we want to encourage the brothers in order to make an effort to become of those people who are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase what we're doing in terms of the nawafil. Now we have to make this point and stress this point. There's a sister who's from our jama'ah, who is present right now, who some of us have left back in our locales where we came from. That sister, mashallah, she dresses and she considers herself to be from the Dawah of Salafiyya, and she wears that nice dress, the niqab and the jilbab and the hijab and the nice dress. And she wants to do that which is extra. And yet, she wants to get close to Allah, but those things that are obligatory upon her, she hasn't completed them. For an example, we are about to embark upon the blessed month of Ramadan. She still owes 5 days from last Ramadan, which are obligatory on her, connected to her neck. And she owes 5 days from the Ramadan prior to that, and the Ramadan prior to that. So she owes Allah tabarak wa ta'ala 60 days of fasting. She's been a Muslim for 10 years. She owes 60 days of fasting. How's she going to get close to Allah ta'ala with the nawafil, and she didn't even complete that which is wajib? People from the brothers traveled last year during the month of Ramadan, and they broke their fast. And we're about to embark upon the month of Ramadan, and he hasn't made up that time. So the point that we want to stress here and emphasize, if the person is not doing that which is wajib, then he can't do that which is from the sunnah. It doesn't make sense to come into the masjid while the imam is praying and the salah has been established and the people in the line and they're praying, for you to go off into the corner to pray the two rak'at of the sunnah before Fajr. Not only is it incorrect, but you're sinning because you disobeyed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The second issue that we want to mention that will cause a person to be loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's a carryover from what we said yesterday, just to show you how important this issue is, that you can find it in every aspect of your Islam. The second thing that the person can do to become from those people who are the ahibba'u of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to take the time out to begin to memorize the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to contemplate its message, and to consider its message, and to generally acquaint yourself with the Quran and to read it. Whether you know Arabic or you don't know Arabic, to learn about it, to seek after and search after the means and the ways that will enable you to one day read it and understand it. No matter what your position is with the Quran, I know how to read the Quran, but I don't understand it. Doesn't matter. I don't know how to read the Quran yet. It doesn't matter. My language is only English. I can't even read it at all. It's no problem. Wherever you stand and all of those people in between them, if you reconnect yourself with the Quran by reading it, memorizing it, contemplating it, trying to get it secure, learning it, learning the Arabic in order to learn it, you'll be of those people, inshaAllah ta'ala, that Allah ta'ala loves. Ain't a dalil. Ain't a dalil ala hada. أن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا في سرية فكان يقرأ لأصحابه في صلاته بي قل هو الله أحد فأخبروا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بذلك فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلوه لأي شيء يصنع ذلك فسألوه فقال الرجل لأنها صفة الرحمن وأحب أن أقرأ بها فأخبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال له أخبروه أن الله يحبه. Aisha said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent a man out and he was the head of the expedition. Every time the salat came, when they asked the man, he said, verily this surah is the description of Ar-Rahman, and I love to read it. They told the Prophet of his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet told them to tell him, then tell that man that Allah loves him. Now the question is, ikhwan, qul huwallahu ahad, the small surah of the Quran, the short surah of the Quran. If Allah Ta'ala loves an individual as a result of his love for that surah, his reading of that surah, what about all of those other ayat and those other long surahs of the Quran? Even more so, that small surah that the people look at as being small, even though many of the companions during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as the imam of the people, they used to read only Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad for Salatul Fajr. The Prophet asked them when he asked us this question concerning it. أَيَعْجِزُ أَهَدَكُمْ أَنْ يَقْرَأَ فِي لَيْلَةٍ بِسُورَةِ الْقُرْآنِ فَسَأَلُوا كَيْفَ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَهَدَ تَعْجِزُ سُورَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Is it possible? Are any of you incapable? Is it impossible for any of you to read a third of the Quran? Why don't some of you people read a third of the Quran? They said, how are we going to read a third of the Quran, Ya Rasulullah? He said, verily, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad equals a third of the Quran. So we say to the people, to you brothers as well as you sisters, if the man came to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah and to learn Surah Al-Baqarah and to be of those people who love Surah Al-Baqarah and those other long ayats and surah like that, Wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu, you will become of those people that Allah Ta'ala loves, inshaAllah, if he loves the man because of Surah Al-Qur'an Ahad. Al-Imam Ahmed rahmatullahi alayhi brought the statement of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu about how the companions used to think concerning this. And he said, Anas said, كان الرجل فينا إذا قرأ البقرة وآل عمران جد فينا. If the man from the companions amongst us, if he read Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, he became well respected in our eyes. If the man from the companions, if he had committed to memory, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, or Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, he was a great person in our eyes. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu memorized Surah Al-Baqarah in 8 years. After memorizing Surah Al-Baqarah, he slaughtered a sheep for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given thanks to Allah. And then he told the people, whoever has a question about Surah Al-Baqarah, then let him come forth. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he told us, إِنَّكَ لَن تَتَقَرَّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ هُوَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ كَلَامِهِ. You are not going to get close to Allah. You're not going to make the taqarrub in Allah. You will not get close to Allah with anything that is more beloved to Allah than getting closer in by reading His words. Has we pondered that statement that we hear so many times? Inna khayral kalam, kalamullahi. If we pondered it, then it only makes sense that people make an attempt to try to be of those people who memorize. And as we mentioned yesterday, Ikhwan, if memorizing a new surah is going to guarantee, inshallah, a person's elevation in the paradise, he feels he's a Muslim, he believes in the Tawheed of Islam, the Tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, he eventually will go to paradise. If memorizing a surah or another ayah will guarantee his elevation another step, another level, another degree, another darajah, then it only makes sense for the people to try to begin to busy themselves to not allow a week to go by except that they have memorized or that they're memorizing. But you have to develop for yourself a minhaj. You can't start here and then jump over here and then jump over here and jump over here. It's difficult. Even when you want to make the muraja'ah, you want to go over what you memorize, if you're all over the place, it's going to be difficult. So he has to grab one place and he says, I'm going from the last 10 surahs down. And then from the last 10 surahs, I'm going to try to go work up in Juz Amma or work back from Juz Amma. The important thing is that the person has to do his best to develop a minhaj. What about those other ayats that are important, like Ayatul Kursi? And we came to know, as the brother brought forth to us the book, the question that was presented the other day about Surah Al-Mulk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Surah Al-Mulk would be an argument and it would be a defender for the person in his grave. It would save you from the punishment of the grave. That was one of the proofs that established the verses of Surah Al-Mulk. So the question is, what about those ayats and those other surahs that have some virtue? The person has the ability to do that and it doesn't cause them to lose focus, then be you a ni'mah. Do what you can do. But we advise people after seeing from experience that the best way of memorizing the Quran is to develop for yourself a minhaj that is clear, that is concise, and that is organized. So go from the back up, or you start from Juz Amma, you come down. After the Quran, Ikhwan, the first thing that we want to mention, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, from those things that will cause a person to be of those people that Allah loves. And we mention this because the administration brought this to our attention. Actually, this wasn't part of what we wanted to mention, but we have to give some tanbih. We have to make you aware of this issue. And that is those people who take care of the tahara in al-Islam. Cleanliness will make people loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he states in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَحِّرُونَ. Allah loves those people who purify themselves. Allah loves those people who are pure. Those people who take care to make the ghusl after having relationships with their mates. They make the ghusl after they come off of their periods. They make ghusl when they accept al-Islam. They make the ghusl when they enter into Mecca and they make a Hajj. They make ghusl after giving birth for babies. There are at least 10 different times when people should make ghusl. Either it's obligatory or it's highly recommended. They make ghusl after washing the body in the janazah. Allah Ta'ala loves those who are pure. And he knows the religion of Islam, half of it is purity. As he said in the authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-iman or al-tuhur shatr al-iman. Cleanliness is half of your faith. Cleanliness, being clean, is half of the faith. It's not possible. It's impossible for the Muslim to be a person who walks around and is not taking care of his hygiene. When you go into his house, he's not taking care of his hygiene. Even if he's living with a group of brothers, they're roommates. 3, 4 brothers are living together, and you know how men are. If the Muslim claiming to be on the sunnah, there is something wrong with their understanding and their iman. Al-iman al-tahur shatr al-iman. Cleanliness is half of the faith. How are you going to go into a person's home? 3 roommates, brothers, 4 roommates, and you smell that smell, and you see that grit and that grime all over the place. Mildew, plants are growing out of the wall, off of the stove, out of the refrigerator. Food is growing hands, it's moving like this. Seriously. Something is wrong with his iman. Something is wrong with his understanding of our Islam. It's impossible. Now when we talk about purity, we know that the worst type of janas, the worst type of najasa, and the worst type of al-wasakha, and the worst type of dirt, filth, and evil is the filth of shirk and kufr. We know that, we understand that. That's worse than a person being dirty, but he said la ilaha illallah. The one who says la ilaha illallah, he has under his fingernails dirt, grime. Even if the man is in a mechanic and he's working manual labor, he comes home, even if he wears the dirtiest clothes on the job, when he comes home, his house is not like that, his body's not like that. That man is better who is dirty than the kafir who's walking around and who has impeccable hygiene. Why? Because the worst filth and the worst dirt is the dirt of shirk and kufr. Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told us, and we support the statement of our brother Dawood Abdi, we don't see it as being permissible for us to invite kuffar to the masjid. Not out of fear that they're going to hear something that's not correct on Jum'ah, but because they are najis. We should set off a place for those kuffar other than the masjid of Allah. The masjid where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam used to always take the time out to tell the people to respect it by not urinating in it. Don't put any najas in the masjid by not spitting towards the Qibla. He's about to make the salah. Someone spit on the Qibla towards the wall. He took his shirt, a sharif, and he wiped it off with his shirt. He wiped the spit off with his shirt so that it won't be on the wall facing the Qibla in the masjid. So it's an amazing thing to me when we have some young brothers, mashallah, who want to deliver for everything, and that's fine and good. But where's the shukr? Young brothers, they want to deliver for everything. They see the older brother in the masjid, sitting in the masjid with his feet facing towards the Qibla. The older man, he sees the young brother in the masjid, the Salafi brother, the Sunni brother, in the masjid with his feet facing towards the Qibla. The old man can barely read and write, but he always makes salat in the masjid. He's still on the fitra. He eats halal. He goes to the masjid. He tries to tell his wife and his children, wear hijab. He's reminding them of what's haram, what's halal. He has a nice white beard. He comes and he says to the young brother, ya akhi, don't sit with your feet towards the Qibla. And the Sunni brother, Salafi brother responds by saying, where's the dalil for that? Where's the dalil for that? The man loves and he respects the masjid of Allah. He respects the Qibla of Islam. And he has proof for it. Maybe he doesn't know it. But he has some ability that he can make the istiqnas with those proofs. But if it's not, that made him say that. So if The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam prevented and prohibited the Bedouin from coming and leaving his najasa in the masjid. At the same time, Allah ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told us, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, innama al-mushrikuna najasu, fala yaqrabu al-masjid al-haram, ba'da amihim hada. Wa in khiftum aynat, wa tatafi yabrikum Allah min fadli insha'a. Only verily those mushrikun are najis. They are filthy. They have shirk and kufr. They don't know how to purify themselves after going to the bathroom. They don't know how to purify themselves after having babies and coming off their nurses. So do not let them come to the Masjid al-Haram after this year. And if you are afraid that you're going to leave money, life is going to become difficult because when they don't come, they don't bring their money. And Allah is going to, insha'Allah, He's going to give you out of the sustenance if He chooses. So we can't have the najas in the masjid, and the worst type of dirt and filth is the filth of a shirk and kufr and bid'ah. So with that being the case, ikhwan, so that we can become of those people who love Allah here in this conference. How is it possible that the people who want to be upon what we are upon, the ghuraba, they take their plates and they throw the plates all over the place. They take their cups and they throw their cups all over the place. They treat the rooms that they're standing, which is an amana, as if it's nothing. It's free for any they have made. Let me do what I want to do. Wallahi, that's a rough understanding of Islam. It is given dollar to these kufar. Then it brings us to the other point. Wallahi, these conferences, they feel good. I love to see brothers, meet brothers, the Sheikh Abdul Rahman from Anchorage, Alaska. Never met him before. Get an opportunity to sit with him, to kick with him, get to know him. My brothers from California, so fine, and the rest of the brothers. Get an opportunity to kick with them. See my brothers who came from the Bahamas and Orlando. Other brothers who I met before. Brothers who I show the sisters, I lift weights with them. See, mashallah, you're getting bigger still. You on the program, alhamdulillah. Seeing our sisters, and we own this spot right here. This whole floor, the whole area is ours. We have the power here. This joint is ours. It's a beautiful feeling to be with the community, but with all of that power that we have right now, we own this environment right now. Those kufar who are here, they get out of our way. We barely see them. And many of them, we don't know, are they Muslims or not even. And yet, how many people went to the front desk and said, this is who we are, yeah, señorita. We are Muslims. And this is what we believe in. How many of the people go down to the kufar in the area? Nah, this Urabba conference is just for the Salafi people, just for the Muslims. That narrow-minded approach to Dawah and al-Islam is going to continue to make us of the people of Mutakhalifin. Those people who are back, we're behind. There are people who, when they come to Islam, just like you, they bring resources to al-Islam. They bring their piece of the puzzle to the table in al-Islam. So we want to remind the brothers as well as the sisters. Those sisters, they have enough sense that you cannot put a baby's diaper in the toilet. You might do it at home. How are you going to do it here? So let us pay more attention, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, to the issue of taking care of our cleanliness. The cleanliness that caused Bilal radiallahu anhu's footsteps to proceed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ya Bilal, I saw in the dream last night that I was in paradise and your footsteps were before me. I heard them and you were before me. What do you do? Ya Rasulullah, there's nothing that I can think of that I do except that I never break my wudu in the daytime or at night. Except that I make it again. I never make wudu in the daytime or night except that I make 2 o'clock after that. I want to give you a hadith that's a challenge to you guys. And it's not very difficult to practice. But the reward of it is tremendous. A person can take this hadith and get a feel of how serious he is about trying to get out of this life from the people who will be successful. And this is a challenge, inshallah, to be practiced as soon as possible. Concerning the cleanliness of Al-Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a challenge to all of you. And look how easy it is, wallahi. He said, مَا مِن مُسْلِمْ يَتَوَضَّعُ فَيُحْسِنُ الْوَضُوءُ ثُمَّ يَقُومُ فَيُسَلِّ رَكَعْتَيْنِ مُقْبِلْ عَلَيْهَا بِقَلْبِهِ وَوَجْهِهِ إِلَّا وَجِبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ He said that there is not a Muslim who gets up and he makes the wudu, purifies himself. And you know the wudu, as the Prophet said, لَا يُحَافِظْ عَلَى الْوُدُوء إِلَّا مُؤْمِنْ No one takes care of the wudu except the believer. Only the believer, the one who really knows the importance of purity, keeping the jinn off of him, nice smells. He's the one who tries to remain in wudu if it's easy for him. Or he makes it properly. He said, there's not a Muslim who makes the wudu, and he makes the goat wudu, not wasting the water, but he gets all of the parts. He makes the goat wudu, but not adding on to the wudu. The people who want to make wudu, and they start to make wudu, and they want to go over their head, they do their neck all like this, and they back and forth over the neck. That's not the goat wudu. Where does it come from? Just from the top to the back. Back again is enough. They want to clean their mouth, they take their thing on and put it all in their thing like it's a mishrak. Where do you get that from? Just gargle it right out and spit it out. It's as easy as that. Stay with the sunnah. There's not a Muslim who makes the goat wudu, and then he stands up. And he makes two rakat. And in those two rakat, he makes them with his heart being connected to them, and his face facing the Qibla, except that the paradise becomes obligatory for him. So all he has to do is, get himself together, put on his game face, and he says to himself, I'm going to make this serious wudu the right way. All I have to do is make a proper wudu. I started by saying, Bismillah. And make him the wudu of the sunnah. One time, two times, three times. Don't waste the water and wet all of the parts. After that, I make the dua and wudu. And then I face the qibla. And all I have to do is make two rakat after that with my heart being in it. Two rakat. Just me pulling along too short for going out to think very long. I do that. Face the qibla. Make the Tasleem, except that I'm going to get the paradise. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he connected every single thing that we've been mentioning so far up until this point. Of the things that will make a person loved by Allah. He gets up and he makes the two rakat that are nawafil. After he leaves here, he makes the two rakat that are nawafil. When he makes those two rakat, he's reading the Kalam of Allah. While he's reading the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, he has purified himself prior to that. A golden opportunity. Now the question is, who's going to take advantage of the opportunity? The last time, we only have 5 minutes remaining, inshallah, the last thing that we want to mention as it relates to our talk and our conference here is those people who want to become loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become from his ahibba'u. Then one of the best ways to do that is to be of those people who are from the atba' of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So follow the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Who can give me the proof of that? Who can give me the proof of that? Where is the proof that following the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will guarantee for you the love of Allah ta'ala? Who can give me the proof from the Quran on that? Can't be someone from Orlando, because the people from Orlando, they know too much, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Come on, ikhwan, one proof. Now, enter your